Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. I know that it's been a while, and I just want to welcome everybody to 2018. And I'm excited to be here that it's a new year, and we have a lot to accomplish. And I'm hoping that the Democrats will take back the House and Senate majority. To get there, we have a lot of work ahead of us, and I think that that's what has motivated me to be here today. We're going to talk about Dangerous Donald. I don't refer to him as President Trump or Trump much because I don't have respect for who he is and what he's doing. And a little bit of history on that is I can honestly say that George W. Bush was not a great president. He didn't make any monumental things happen. However, when you do a comparison between Donald Trump and George W. Bush, I could honestly say that even as much as I don't agree with his policies, don't agree with what he quote-unquote accomplished during his term, he at least didn't commit treason. He didn't collude with Russia. He didn't take us to levels that I think that we're headed to, which are very dangerous right now. And, you know, that's the thing. We can politically disagree with things. We can see things from other points of view. But we have these right-wing extremist Republicans on air, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, who are driving this narcissistic need to control, to manipulate, to redefine what we see as truth and facts. And America is steadily fascism. And you may say that that's something based upon my political viewpoint because I am a liberal. But it is not. It is based in facts and reality. And that's where things should start from. And the problem is that we have a lot of fear-based people, and they're not thinking with their rational brain. Now, we have an independent investigator working at this point. He has already had two convictions. He has thousands of emails, which, you know, was unknown to specific people when they testified before a grand jury, when they talked to Mueller, when they talked to FBI agents. And this has kind of thrown the monkey wrench into their works because, you know, people went before him and they told their stories thinking that he was working blindly, and that was not the case. Since then, since the word has got out that these emails do exist and Mueller has them, people have been trying to tank his investigation in one method or another. And this is, it's a dangerous precedent to set because, you know, our nation, our democracy, our republic is a very fragile thing. It has to be guarded and it has to be tended to. And the people are the guardians. You know, there are no better guardians than everyone. We all have to work towards this nation functioning. And as I said, we can disagree. There are people on Twitter that ordinarily in policy, I would stand across the rift and look at them and say, absolutely no, I cannot agree with you. This is an absolutely abhorrent policy. And yet to Donald Trump and saying, this is our country, this is not acceptable behavior, this is not where we need to go. And I am absolutely willing to follow them and listen to them because we're making the same assessment that Donald Trump is dangerous for America, that he needs to be removed from office, that the things he says have consequences, like when he's trying to provoke Kim Jong-un and saying that his nuclear button is bigger. This is not a game. This is not a toy. These are two nation leaders. You know, it's one thing for someone who grew up under fascism, under an ideology where he was constantly immersed in it. You know, Kim Jong-un grew up under Kim Jong-il. He was raised in this. He was raised to believe that this is the right thing for these people. Oppression works. it works for him. Because where would he be without this oppressive ideology? He would not be the leader. He would be removed. But as long as he can continue to control and oppress his people through militarization of the state, he can continue in power. It is different with us. Donald Trump grew up in America, where there was freedom of speech, liberties, where he had, you know, all of this overwhelming ability to see how things function. I don't think that Donald Trump has really paid attention to the dynamics of how this nation functions, what other nations exist or how they function. His importance is based only in business and the politics of being a salesman. And salesman is political. And if people say, oh, well, he's not a career politician. Look, to sell someone something, you have to know how to politic. You have to know how to do the right things and get them to come to your side and want to buy in or let you do what it is that you would like to. For instance, create a golf course or set up a building so that you can profit from it. You have to know how to reel them in and sell them. Politics is the same. You're being sold on an idea of what a politician thinks you want from them. And as your political views change, and I mean a majority, not just one person, a politician will change with it. That's why the DNC has come from, you know, a history of racism to being progressive, to moving towards more civil liberties, better paying jobs. All of that is because when we, the people, maneuver, we maneuver them. Donald Trump does not operate like this. He is very dangerous because when he is provoking somebody who is steadfast, one, ingrained in their ideology, two, young and inexperienced in worldly cultures and ideologies, you have to understand, Kim Jong-un grew up in an isolated bubble. So he hasn't really had world experience. He's had the experience of his country, its culture, and he has been totally submersed in that. You probably could never convince this man that he is wrong and what he is doing is so inappropriate. So watching a 70-year-old man try to provoke a young guy who is so corrupted from birth is disturbing. It's absolutely disturbing. And we have to protect this nation from this because pushing our allies away, he's pushing other nations to not trust us. He's pushing and pushing. And, you know, Kim Jong-un has one goal, and that is to prove himself powerful, to prove himself a mighty leader, to prove himself unable to be pushed around, to show that all of his upbringing, everything that he was immersed in, is correct, and it's the way that things go. He has to prove his political might to his would-be opponents and to his people of his country. And Donald Trump is playing with a madman, but Donald Trump behaves as a madman. Donald is so disturbingly, absolutely got to be a true narcissist. And I agree with that assessment because everything is about him. And it's not about the country. It's not about the welfare of the people. It's not about their survival. It's not about how to make things better. It's not about unity. It's not about any of those things. It's about him. And, you know, these Republican attacks where they are siding with him and attacking Mueller, it's quite disturbing because it speaks to a movement of this nation, not only possibly that the Russians have dirt on the specific ones who are targeting Mueller, but that the reasons that they're standing behind him are not clean and clear, but they are corrupt from the core. And that's a problem for America because, you know, you only have a small percentage of Americans who actually support in the direction of Donald Trump and other Republicans who are sitting there supporting him, about 35%. So you have about 65% of America which stands against him, against his ideology, and they're being ignored for whatever reason that these Republicans are doing this. They're actually working to their disgrace and their dishonor. And they think that if they say these lies enough, if they repeat them enough, if they keep telling you that this is not true, that that will work. But the evidence is being uncovered and it's being leaked out little by little. You know, it's obviously at a point where Mueller feels like, you know, it's not going to endanger where he stands. But the problem is that if Republicans try to remove him, it removes the only form of justice that this country really has, which holds a president accountable, just like it did Nixon, for his actions or inactions, if they are criminal. So, you know, we are standing on dangerous grounds in a chasm, and we are looking at the edge, and, you know, you have to ask yourself as an American, how far to the edge do we go? Do we go over the edge? Do we just let America fold into another fascist state? Do we leave this for our children to pick up the mess? You know, do we settle for comfort and complacency over democracy and hardship? And I say that we have to stand up for America here. It's not about Republicans. It's not just about Democrats. It's not just about libertarians. It's about all of us. We all should have the right to a government that actually represents the will of the people, that we know that our enemies cannot find comfort here, that things like, you know, what is going on in Russia aren't going to happen here. Donald Trump has people investigating Hillary Clinton. And this is a problem because no longer is he just, you know, trying to gain office, but he has the highest office in the land. And he has this power, wielding it in such a way that, you know, his opponents or would-be opponents fear being investigated, being imprisoned because they come against him. That is where we really delve into those dark waters of fascism. You know, this is things that should have never reached into America. But, you know, political apathy has grown over a couple decades because people believe that politicians weren't working for them. So they abstain from voting and they abstain from paying attention and they just let it run its course. And when you just let things run their course and crooked people are allowed to attain office and gain power and control, you find yourself in the situation where you're spiraling out of control. And I think that America has to accept its guilt in that. We need to pay attention to our democracy. We need to take care of it. We need to nurture it. But we haven't been. And now, you know, the resistance is building. And we've had some momentum gained. But in the background of that, we have some really terrible things going on, you know, with the EPA, with the Department of Justice investigating Hillary, with Sessions trying to roll back federal progress on accepting legalization of marijuana, things like that. I mean, it's all over the board. I could sit here and name things for probably a couple hours that I find disturbing about what has gone on. But we need to take this to a place where Americans really care about their politics and the policies that affect them, their children, their livelihood, their outcome. And we need to say enough is enough. You know, I'm not a person to just sit on the sidelines. And, you know, I don't want people to sit there either. And I have contacted my senators and I've said, look, this is enough. Enough is enough. You have to stand up and do something. This man must be removed before he provokes a nuclear war. And, you know, one of my senators wrote me back, and of course, it was Senate speak, but he was talking about the fact that Tillerson, you know, is doing great to foreign relations and that he has faith in this government to, you know, do what's best for America. And I'm like, it made me livid because then he tried to throw the ball and punt it to Obama and say his failed foreign policies is what led us here. And that's not true. North Korea has been a problem since before the North Korean War. Even though that war ended, the problems right there did not. They have not. You know, we're talking about something that is multi-generational, and we know this. I don't know how ignorant a senator thinks you can be, but this isn't an Obama problem. This isn't a Bush, George W. problem. This isn't a Bush Senior problem. This isn't a Reagan problem. This isn't a Carter problem. This is many generations back, and you know, we don't have the right to violate the sovereignty of another nation. So as long as the people in that country are willing to allow the dictatorship, allow fascism to reign, we can do nothing but sit by the side. If they attack South Korea, if they attack another nation, if they launch a nuclear weapon, then, of course, we are allowed to go to the UN and say, hey, you know, this has happened. We need to do this. We are not allowed to provoke an action. And things that Donald Trump has said before could have led them to attack us, vacation, because you're also not allowed to say certain things to another nation, like we'll destroy you. There are words that presidents should not speak. And there's a reason why sometimes it's good to have a politician, because sometimes you really need to use political speak, especially when you're dealing with unhinged people. You know, you have to use a delicate touch, because you are just, you know, one guy standing in a ring with another guy, and you two are going to fight. You are one man who is in control of millions of lives, who has the potential to devastate millions more. And this is absolutely absurd that we're watching this go on and Republicans are standing silent by the sidelines. I haven't honestly, though, seen Democrats be outwardly spoken enough about this. This is, to me, disturbing, because I want to see more Democrats calling upon their fellow senators and House members and saying, listen, this is not okay. We have to stop this kind of ill-begotten behavior. And I understand that there is so many hoops to go through and, you know, things that you have to do to impeach and remove a president. And it's not simple. It takes hearings. It takes time. Removal of Donald Trump would be an arduous task. However, what is it worth to keep him if we lose the very fabric of our nation? I mean, we've had things that, and that's where, you know, someone wrote that there was a basement and Hillary Clinton had all of these children and she was doing sex slave trade. And you had a madman walk up in there and believe that there was a basement in a building that had no basement. You have absurdities happening in this country that I would have never as a child believed had you sat me down and told me that in 2017, this is what we would be facing and 2018 would be an extension of that. I would have said to you, that's just nuts. It's not going to happen in this country. But we've been trailing down this road for quite some time. In all the division, in all of the things that are going on, we have been led here. And I think that we need to take a step back and say, what do we really want? Do we want to be so partisan that we can't see the truth? Or do we want a nation that we can be proud of that provides democracy and liberties and doesn't try to have you sued for laughing at Sessions or doesn't have you investigated for being a political opponent? Or, and I mean, there is investigation, okay? You can investigate on some level, like through writers and through newspapers, and you can have somebody investigated in that method and find something that they've done and say, hey, they're not fit for office, and here's why. But you don't get the highest office in the land and say, well, she was my political opponent, so I'm going to have her investigated. And if you say, well, this is fueled by the fact that his base wants him to do this, you know what? We have already had numerous hearings over something that should have never had numerous hearings. You know, under Bush, 21 people died. Embassies were attacked. So you have under Obama, one embassy attacked, four people died. And I don't mean to minimize their lives. That would not be an okay thing to do. It's terrible. It's tragic. It's horrible. But we didn't have the hearings under Bush, and we have the hearings under Obama, simply as a political witch hunt. But we understood under Bush that these were hotbeds of potential problems, and that things did happen. And the same happened under Obama. And to investigate her, knowing that this was not a Hillary problem, this was not an Obama problem, this is a long-term problem. We have embassies in countries where it is volatile, where we are not always welcome, where people do want to do harm to the people in the embassy, which is why we have to have people protecting them. This is why they have to have security, because it can happen. And to hold numerous hearings is unacceptable, period. But to appeal to a base who is working with nothing but fear and paranoia, and to appeal to that fear and paranoia just to be able to distract the public from the other things that you are doing, which are quite inappropriate, is absurd, and it's horrible, and it's not something that should happen here in America. I mean, Donald Trump is profiting from being president. He has already profited hundreds of millions of dollars. And he has got patents, and he is building new buildings. And he is getting foreign nation leaders to stay at his hotel. And he is doing all of these things, and he is completely unchecked. Unchecked, because Republicans are willing, as long as they get, they want, and continue to collect their funding. They are willing to turn a blind eye to this, and they're willing to turn a blind eye to the suffering of America, to the sinking of America, to our republic being destroyed. It's not acceptable. It isn't. I would not want to be on Team Democrat for anything. I would be so livid if I caught my senators being like, well, you know what, Hillary's president, so she gets to investigate her political enemies, she gets the profit from the presidency, she gets to do all of this, and you just have to suck it up, buttercup. I would be like, no, I no longer want to align with you. I'm still going to be a Democrat, but I am going to work to end this, because our nation needs leadership that isn't based in what profits them. It needs leadership based in what profits the people of that nation. After all, they are elected representatives. We pay their salary. We put them there. They speak for us. They speak for A, that you cannot reach out to them and be heard and know that they're speaking for you. It's the day that you know that you have lost control. And that has come. And we have to start changing what we see here in America as fact. And we have to work towards bettering this before it gets much, much worse. And it can. You know, I hate to think about saying the things that Donald could do. I mean, he can co-opt these departments for his own gain. And all he has to do is a few simple things, and he can take control. That's not something we want to happen. You know, already is word out there that the election was completely stolen. And you might say, well, that's just a conspiracy. You know, you're just buying all the left-wing jargon, and you're just paranoid too. But it's not. I mean, there are numerous places saying, look, we have evidence. We have facts surrounding this. We know what happened. Here's where they were. Here's where they got into. Here's what they did. And if we can say all of that, if we can have all of those overwhelming facts, then we should be working to uncover it. Because if Republicans are fine with the election being stolen for them, I wonder if they would be just as equally fine if Putin had wanted Hillary in office and she had stolen the election from Donald. Would that be okay? Would it be permissible? I don't think so. I don't want Hillary in there. It wasn't the will of the people. I don't want Donald in there because it wasn't the will of the people. And you know, I always thought growing up that, you know, I would live through would not be something reminiscent of history. But now I see that every day that I'm living, future generations will speak of this time and they will say, you know, we were fools. They will say that we didn't see all of the signs and all of the things coming. And we will be guilty as charged. We let this happen to our nation. And I think we have to take responsibility for that. So, as I wrap up, I want you to understand that we are in dangerous times. These are dangerous waters for America to tread. And I mean, I know other nations have gone through many different things, and in their youth they made mistakes. And I hope that on the other side of this we can see a light where America becomes the beautiful place that we all dream it to be, where you can make good money, where you can have a good home, take care of your children, live, laugh, love, no matter what politics you practice, and enjoy your life. It takes giving a little for everyone to gain. And I'm just going to say that. And I realize that I have people who think that based upon what I believe that I'm wrong or ignorant or not educated, numerous things that I've seen people write about what I say. And I have to say to them, continue being my hater, please. You're doing me a service, because the more that you hate me and the more that you talk about me, the more that people understand that I am here and I'm not going away. So with that in mind, I am going to wrap up. This show does pop up on iTunes, so if you want to listen to it there, please look for me, Think Atheist, on iTunes. I am on Twitter. I'm under Rachel Osiris. I have changed my Twitter handle. And I am on Facebook under Rachel Johnson. You can look for me there. I'm on a week ban, so it's going to be a few more days before I get back there, but I will. And more than that is look for the resistance. Email, call your senators, do what you can, speak up, be a voice, don't be apathetic. Do what you have to in order to make America a better place, because it takes all of us, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whoever you are, whether you're a Sanders person, all of us have to work on making this nation a great place. So do something, do your part. I value your feedback, so please leave it if you'd like, and if not, that's fine too. Until next time, I hope that you have a wonderful day, and take care. Thanks for listening to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson.